Hey, it's Holden Kushner. It's the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network. Fun show for you today. We got to talk a whole bunch of Nuggets. Jokic, another triple-double, an overtime win last night. We'll talk about them going forward, possibly meeting the Lakers or the Suns in the playoffs. Some news on the Broncos coaching staff and an important hire there. Avalanche hosting the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Absolutely love the spot the Avs are in. And then we had an interesting weekend in baseball when it comes to the pitch clock, the new rules. I'll discuss that and a lot more with Ian St. Clair from Play Colorado and PlayColorado.com. But let's get into this. Front Range 4, this is the four biggest stories on the Front Range. We'll start with these Nuggets, who have covered 9 of 12 against the spread after beating the Clippers in overtime last night. So Jokic, I bet the triple-double, and he's stuck on 9 assists for about the 4:30 mark left in regulation, and he couldn't get it, so I'm rooting for overtime, right? We got overtime, and he did it again. 9 straight triple-doubles at home. I'll get you the odds for the futures for the Nuggets here in just a couple of minutes. Nothing out for their next game coming up. But 9 straight triple-doubles at home, 14 of his last 16 home games, a triple-double. If you've been tailing me on these, you've been profitable. I think the last time I bet a triple-double on the show, though, I said don't bet it on the road. And, of course, he had a triple-double on the road. But at home, it's almost an auto bet, something you should always study and look at before making the bet. Don't just blind bet it. But let's face it, this guy is money at home with the triple-doubles. Anyways, Houston is up next, and Houston stinks. They cover the spread just 37% of the time. That is the fourth worst in the National Basketball Association. So it should be a win coming up against Houston. If you're looking for a triple-double from Jokic, you might have to do it in three quarters, but he's done that plenty of times this season. All right, let's get into last night real quick. The Clippers kind of roughed Jokic up. They roughed him up in the second half. Plumlee was out there beating him up. And it meant Jokic being less of a facilitator and a rebounder because of it. He still got his buckets. He still got his shots. But boy, maybe that is the game plan going forward. Just beat up Nikola Jokic if you have the size and the depth to do that. But he still got his buckets, and he's still the best player in the world. And I think that there will be adjustments to where they can get physical with him. And he will be a facilitator, and he will be a rebounder. Now, MPJ. I want to talk about MPJ for a second. He is an absolute star when he's on the court. He was tremendous last night. We still want to see him improve defensively, but boy, was he damn good. So you just got to make sure he's healthy. It's as simple as that. Aaron Gordon came back, did his thing, looked a little rusty, fouled out, but we know what he brings to the team. It's his most efficient season in the NBA, and I think his second best season that we've seen out of him. But you get a healthy MPJ, a healthy Murray, a healthy Gordon, this bench, whew, sky's the limit. Now, here's what I'm hearing from Nuggets fans. They're worried about a potential playoff matchup with the Lakers. First of all, the Lakers have to get into the play-in game. Second of all, simmer down. This team is the team that will take down LeBron and AD. Jokic is still going to get his. LA is a two-man band. Like, who's going to pick up the scoring load after LeBron and AD? They're not a very good defensive team. They have nobody that can create for themselves outside of LeBron at this point. And Jokic will score. It'll be up to Murray. It'll be up to Gordon. It'll be up to Porter to be the difference. Now, the Lakers did handle the Nuggets in the one game where both teams played all their stars. But that was in LA, and that was way back in October. And Murray and Porter were still working their way back from injury. And the Nuggets are just the far superior roster. They'd have home court advantage. I'm just not worried about it. I'm not worried about the Lakers. Denver's the better team when both teams are at full strength. And both teams have had their injury issues. I mean, AD gets injured when the wind blows his direction. And Porter seems to be chronically injured, but both are healthy right now. I think the Nuggets will win that series in 6 games, maybe even 5. Just blow through the Lakers. Yeah, it's LeBron. How much can LeBron and AD really do against a superior team from top to bottom? I think the Nuggets will win that series in 6 games is what I'd say, but possibly in 5. As far as the Suns go, this is a different story. We haven't seen them with Durant. But we do know that they're a better team defensively than the Nuggets. They rank 7th in defensive efficiency, and the Nuggets are 14th. But Jokic always has a huge advantage at center. He's the dominant player against DeAndre Ayton. Ayton will get a double-double, but Jokic is always going to have the big game there. Durant will have an advantage over Porter. Okay, that's obvious, or whoever else he matches up against. Maybe it's KCP on him. I'll take Murray over an aged Chris Paul. Booker, better than KCP. But the Suns don't have a true power forward, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle Aaron Gordon in a playoff series. Bench-wise with these two teams, Torrey Craig, we know him. Campaign, Damian Lee off the bench for Phoenix. They've got a weak bench. As much as Nuggets fans complain about the bench for the Nuggets, there was a lot of depth traded away by the Suns. The best starting five in the NBA by the numbers, the Nuggets this year. But I think they built their bench better than what the Suns have. And now that Durant's in the starting lineup, we'll see if the Nuggets still have the best starting five out there. But I really believe in this Denver bench going forward. I get it. Nuggets fans saying why? What tells you that this Nuggets bench is good? Chanchar, first of all, has turned into a reliable scorer off the bench. He's probably the most improved player on this team. Reggie Jackson and Thomas Bryant, great pickups. They're going to get better. They're going to get better with playing time. You know, Thomas Bryant, we saw it a little bit last night. Reggie Jackson, just be patient. You know, we still got 20-something games to figure this thing out, and they will figure out the bench rotation. Bruce Brown, really good two-way player. We've seen him this year. Christian Brown will likely get less minutes unless there's an injury, but I feel just fine. Chanchar, Jackson, Bryant, Brown. You're going 9 deep there, and you're looking really good with that 9 deep. And how much is Thomas Bryant really going to play when it's all said and done? 6-7 minutes? 8 minutes? Not very much. We still need to see how the Suns mesh with Durant, too. I mean, they only got 20-something games to figure it out. But if the Nuggets have home court advantage and they have, what, like a 10-game lead on the Suns, I'm backing the Nuggets in 7 games. They have to have home court advantage. It's a 7-game series with Phoenix. If they have home court advantage, give me Phoenix in 7. The Nuggets are going to have home court advantage, though. Give me the Nuggets in 7 games. Here are the Nuggets odds, the futures on Bet Rivers, plus 600 to win it all. So Boston, Phoenix, and Milwaukee ahead of them. You know, Milwaukee wasn't ahead of them for a while. So I wonder what moved Milwaukee ahead. Maybe it's just that the odds makers have moved the Suns ahead of them. You know, the Bucks have a better chance of getting out of the East than the Nuggets would out of the West. Maybe that's their thinking. Suns plus 250 to win the West. Nuggets still plus 275. Let's wait on this. See if the market overreacts. Maybe we get a plus 300 or better for the Nuggets. And Jokic is now minus 305 to be the MVP. That's over. And that is over for number one of the Front Range. Four biggest sports stories on the Front Range. Let's go to number two now. The Broncos coaching staff coming together. Former Chargers offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi joins the staff as the offensive coordinator in name only. Sean Payton will call the plays. Lombardi oversaw that offense with Justin Herbert that was criticized for not taking enough shots downfield. Very conservative. I don't understand why they use the short passing game way too often. I love Austin Eckler, but boy, did they dump it down a ton. And that's why Lombardi got fired. Didn't get the most out of Justin Herbert. Herbert has turned into a really good quarterback, but they're hoping to get somebody that can make him an even better quarterback. So Lombardi's gone. I'm fine with the hire. He'll learn under Sean Payton, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, defensively, we know Vance Joseph is here. He's the defensive coordinator. There are some that would say he doesn't have the game plan to stop Patrick Mahomes. Who does have a game plan to stop Patrick Mahomes? Vic Fangio a couple of times, and the team still lost. Joseph, average defensive coordinator for the Cardinals since he left as the head coach of the Broncos. Last year, they were horrible, 24th defensive DVOA. First year he was there, they were top 10 in points allowed, takeaways, fumble recoveries, rushing TDs allowed. So he had one good year and two bad ones over there. And he's got a much better roster over here than he did over there. I mean, J.J. Watt, who just retired, was probably their best defensive player. Buda Baker was there too. Joseph, 5-11 here, 6-10. We know that. I am more than happy that he's here, though. I find him to be a very capable defensive coordinator, and I trust Sean Payton's judgment there. Now, Special teams is another one. So here's the importance of the hires. Vance Joseph is going to be the most important. Okay. Special teams is going to be the second most important. And then the training staff is going to be three. And I can make an argument that the training staff would be two as well. But Sean Payton went out and hired Mike Westhoff, former Saints coach. He was in retirement. He was out hanging out, hiking in the mountains, 75 years old. He's going to be the assistant head coach, but he also has the background of a special teams head coach, okay? When he was there in 2017, 2018, the Saints had elite kicking units, okay? Coverage units, everything. He had health issues. He left. I know Kotwicka is here. I'm not a Kotwicka guy. I don't think he was great with the Vikings. As a matter of fact, they had the 30th ranked special teams there. But unlike Dwayne Stukes, who didn't want to go to Jerry Rosberg, I think that Kotwicka is going to go to Westhoff a ton. So I'm good with this hire as well. And the next one that's really important, the new training staff. They lost so many games last year because of injuries, especially hamstring injuries. I love that there's new strength and conditioning coaching here. It needed it. They needed it bad. Keep these guys on the field. Nothing you could do about Javonte's ACL. But when you have a rash of hamstring injuries like they did this year, something had to change. So I think the problems last year, coaching Russell Wilson and injuries. Importance of the coaching staff and the staff being filled out. You know what? I am going to go with the health. I had a special team. So it'll be Vance Joseph, number one. Strength and conditioning, number two. Special teams, number three. And Sean Payton has addressed all of them. By the way, there's still a bet out there. If you're interested, Russell Wilson, 25-1 to win league MVP on Bet Rivers. So if you're interested in taking a dive there, I don't recommend that you do it. But Russ is just going to be at this point, I think, something more than a game manager, but something less than a quarterback that is going to be able to carry his team. You know, we're going to see a lot of running. We're going to see this defense step up. And more than anything else, that'll be the game plan with Sean Payton, in all likelihood. And that's what it's looking like right now. As far as everybody ripping Russell Wilson, you know, the story came out. He it's not his fault. He was allowed to bring his own offensive plays into the offense. It's not his fault that he was allowed to do whatever he wanted to do. It's Nathaniel Hackett's fault. There's a lot that we can say about Russell Wilson and his faults there, and he's got a lot to blame himself for, but I'm just going to rip up last year, move toward next year. We're going to move on to number three on the front range for a team that is in line to win another championship. That would be the Colorado Avalanche, who host Vegas tonight, the Golden Knights. Nice little rivalry here. Oh, here we go. We have got the Avalanche minus 141 on the money line. So a little bit of money came in here. It was minus 145 when I opened it up about an hour and a half ago. Now it's down to minus 141. Make sure you check these numbers as I'm taping this show in the morning. Vegas now plus 123 on the money line. Total stays the same. To me, it's a little inflated. Six goals, over minus 104, under minus 114. Those are the big bets there. You can always check out goal scores. I mean, at this point, you're looking at Nathan McKinnon, and you're not even getting great numbers on McKinnon to score. It's even money. Mikko, minus 105. So I'm not as involved in the goals or the points market right now or the player props market in hockey. I'm looking at the Avs on fire, okay? So they're just five games behind the Golden Knights for the top spot in the West. Remember when everybody was freaking out about 2 weeks ago? Top spot in the West, two less games played than Vegas. I'm watching NHL Network. Oh, this is a team that needs to address defense. This is a team that needs to address, you know, the forward position on the top two lines. Here's what they need to address. Go out, kick some ass on the ice. This team, as it's constructed right now, when Makar comes back, and he's questionable for tonight. I don't think he plays, though. If he does, that's remarkable. This team is just fine the way that it's built. Yes, I'd like to see a top six forward come in. Sure, that would be amazing. But let's just hope Landeskog comes back. Makar is going to come back. Avs five games behind the Golden Knights, 5 points, I should say, 5 points behind the Golden Knights for the top spot. So they've won five straight. They're 7-1-2 in their last 10. They're 13-2-2 in their last 17 games. So this goes back well over a month now. They've been playing at an elite level. 6-1-1 last 8 games at home. They're not losing tonight. The Knights have been playing good hockey, though. 6-1-3 in the last 10. But Vegas is still struggling on the PK kill. The penalty kill has not been great for them. We know what the Avs do really well. Gorgiev is hot. The Avs defense, they've yielded just 10 goals in the last 5 games. I love that they brought back Jack Johnson for some depth at defense, too. Defenseman Jack Johnson's back. He won a cup here last year. Both of these teams have been fantastic defensively this season. So I wouldn't blame you if you wanted to bet an under. I'm going to go a different way with my same game parlay, though. Different way. Both teams fantastic defensively. Previous games stayed with the under, just 5 goals in each of the 3 games. So I'm going with the same game parlay. Avs money line over 4.5 goals. Avs money line over 4.5 goals. Fine with the Avs money line, -141. Typically don't bet a game at that juice. And I think I misspoke earlier. I said, you know, money was coming in on the Avs. That means money's coming in on Vegas if you drop from 145 to 141. But again, I like the Avs tonight. Give me the Avs, same game parlay, over 4.5. Avs to win, Avs money line, +102. You'll probably get a +105 now that juice has come down a little bit. Number 4 in the front range four, got to talk about the pitch clock in Major League Baseball. So this weekend, we had a game, I think it was Boston and Atlanta. The pitch clock ran out and it ended a game. It ended a game. You have batters that don't get in the box fast enough with a strike. You've got pitchers that go past the pitch clock that is going to result in the ball. And the clock ran out and a team walked off on a win because of a pitch clock. And we just can't have this happening. This is unacceptable. And Major League Baseball is going to have to change this. Now, the argument is, well, the pitchers and the batters just have to adjust to these rules. And then none of this problem is going to happen. I want to ensure that this never happens. I want to ensure that we don't have a playoff game decided on a pitch clock violation. Could you imagine if that happens? So my proposal would be this. You got the pitch clock. You use it for 7 innings. Come the 8th inning, get rid of the pitch clock. Change the game a little bit. Sure, it's going to slow down. But I cannot imagine a world where we have a World Series game. Game 7 ends on a pitch clock violation. Sure, we'll blame the player. We'll blame the pitcher. We'll blame the batter. And they should be blamed for that. But Major League Baseball needs to put something in before the regular season starts. We cannot have this happen. Really can't have this happen in regular season games. But I'm really, really worried about the postseason and the fallout that will happen if games end on pitch clock violations. Manfred, I'm down with it. I love it. I love the pace of these spring training games. We're going to have 9-inning games ending in 2 hours and 30 minutes. All right? We could slow it down for an inning or an inning and a half going into the 8th and the 9th innings. It's got to change. You have to avoid games ending on pitch clock violations. His weekly hit, Ian St. Clair. Going to play Colorado, playcolorado.com. He's also with Mile High Report. Got a lot to talk about, my friend. We got a little Russell Wilson. We got some Avalanche. We got a little baseball. You got before we do that, you're not going to be able to see it, but you have a giant size coffee mug the size of your head today. I'm using a normal size mug. Now, sometimes I have my Minnie Mouse mug. But what the heck is going on with this mug as big as your head?
It's the Andre the Giant coffee mug. Like, I figure this is what he would have used.
Yeah, he would... It's pretty big. Let's start with Russell Wilson. A little bit from Peter King today. You know, he's saying, Russell, just keep your head down and do this. And yeah, he has his own office. I didn't have a problem with it at the time. We're starting to learn that, you know, Hackett was dumb enough to let the quarterback call plays, you know, bring plays in. He had an office on the second floor. We had no problem with it before the season started. We got a problem with it now, though, right? So talk to me here. The Russell Wilson, it's gotten to a point where it's hate. Like, he should be criticized. He stunk on the field this year. I don't like that he's a robot. I wish he'd show some emotion, but he is who he is. What are your thoughts on all the stuff swirling around Russell Wilson right now, Ian?
You nailed on it. It's turned to hate. Like, you can have a discussion about the way that he played as a quarterback, because last season it was horrible. And he takes responsibility for that, and he should, and I think he does. But this has just gotten to a point where it's silly. Like, we have Russell Wilson, who does all this great stuff off the field. And then you have a guy who's a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers who locks himself in a hut for 4 days, and there's nothing on that. I mean, it's just silly. And as I told you before we started recording, none of this would have mattered, and none of it would be a discussion if the Broncos win. The discussion completely flips. If the Broncos win, the talk is, wow, look how committed Russell Wilson is to the Broncos and football. He has his own office. But since they lost games and he didn't play well, it's now, wow, the temerity of that guy to have an office. It's just, it's tired. It goes back to that old adage that it's all about winning. And I do think the Broncos have the coach in place to get him back to play the way that he played in Seattle, to, as he said to Colin Coward, find his greatest hits and just keep repeating them. And I think that's what Sean Payton is going to do with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and I think as much blame as Russell Wilson gets, Hackett deserves more.
Absolutely.
He just allowed too much to happen. He let Russell Wilson run things, and Russell Wilson's not a coach. He's a horrible coach. He's a horrible offensive coordinator. Just let the guy play football, and I think if Russell Wilson listens to Sean Payton, things are going to go much better next year.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with Nathaniel Hackett. He just it's one of those Peter Principle things where this was not just his Peter Principle. Like, I think offensive coordinator is too high for Nathaniel Hackett. Mm-hmm. I think coaching in the NFL is too high for Nathaniel Hackett. It's all because of his name, and it's because of nepotism and people knowing who he is. He's not good at what he does. And the fact that he is now an offensive coordinator for the Jets, I would not feel comfortable if I was a Jets fan knowing what I watched for the Denver Broncos, even if they do get Aaron Rodgers. It just, yeah, I will go to the grave saying Nathaniel Hackett is the worst coach in Broncos history.
I don't know how there's any other way to look at it. I really don't. I just don't understand how there's any other way to look at it. He's by far and away the worst, and they wasted a full season with him. It was just a lost season. There's nothing positive to take out of it. Literally nothing. I think the other big thing is the training staff.
Finally.
Like that. Outside of Nathaniel Hackett and then Russell Wilson's performance, this is the most important move this offseason. More important than Vance Joseph. All right, maybe the second most important move.
I totally agree, because the last 5 years under Lauren Landau, the Broncos have been a train wreck when it comes to injuries. I mean, the hamstrings, the muscle injuries, the soft tissues, all of that crap. And you would have people, and I said this to you on a prior show about how the Denver media, it's just weird how they would come to the defense of this guy. Like, he was not good at his job. He may be respected throughout the league and throughout athletes who have worked with him, but it's a results-based business, and he sucked at what he did. So I totally agree with you that the people that Sean Payton has brought in are going to make a massive difference for the Denver Broncos. And I'm a little concerned about Vance Joseph, because to me, the number one thing that the Broncos defensive coordinator has to do is find a way to slow down, not stop, slow down Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and that offense. Yep. And if you look at the results, Vance Joseph has not done that in the time that he was with the Broncos and last year with the Cardinals against the Chiefs. He just does not come up with a plan to slow down Patrick Mahomes. So that's my worry with Vance Joseph.
Okay, let's move on to the Avalanche. Good news here. 7-2-1, last 10. Still, and they bring back Jack Johnson, so get your thoughts on that. Still think they need probably to bolster the one of the top three lines there on offense, right? So let's just start with this run, and we got a nice little game against the Golden Knights, a little rivalry brewing here. Talk to me. How are you feeling about this team going up against Vegas this evening?
You look at this team. So they had three back-to-backs, and they got 11 out of 12 points in those back-to-backs. And you look at the way that they played against Winnipeg on Friday and then Calgary on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
This is the team that won the cup. That's how this team is playing. That's how this team looks. And they're doing it without Cale Makar. They're doing it without Gabriel Landeskog. They're doing it without Darren Helm. And to an extent, Eric Johnson. I think that that McFarland and Sakic need to find a way to get a second center. I don't think they need a wing. You're going to get that wing in Gabriel Landeskog when he comes back. I wouldn't, with the way that teams are loading up at the forward position, like especially in the East, you look at what the Rangers are already getting Tarasenko from the Blues and potentially getting Patrick Kane, the Bruins loading up, the Devils loading up, getting Timo Meier, the Lightning making that bizarre trade for a guy who I don't think was worth it in the return. But the way they're loading up, maybe Sakic and McFarland should look at getting another top light defenseman. Now, obviously, it'll depend on the return, but load up. You have the forward. I mean, if you could get a second center, that would be ideal, because then you could push JT Compher down to the third line and you just make your team harder to beat. But I wouldn't be surprised if they look to get another defenseman and just load up on the defenseman. I mean, that you're going to get Cale Makar back, maybe EJ for the playoffs. You got Jack Johnson in a trade. And by the way, Avs fans are ridiculous how they get so attached to certain players.
Yeah.
Like the way that they responded to this trade, you would think that the guy is going to be the next Bowen Byram. But he's a 27-year-old career minor leaguer who no one would even know his name if not for the injuries to the Avalanche on the blue line this year. So I really like the trade. You get him back. You get his leadership. You get the room is going to be great with him back. And you saw what he did when Samuel Girard got hurt last year in the playoffs.
Hey, they're only 5 points behind Vegas. They played two less games for the top spot in the West. Like, for all the horribleness that has happened this season, 33-19-5, 71 points, 3 points behind Dallas for the Central lead, and then 5 points behind Vegas. They're going to end up getting home ice advantage. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. And you look at where this team was in the middle of January. They were sixth in the division.
I mean, and people were worried about them not making the playoffs. It was a joke. They're getting healthy. They're still not at full strength. They're not even close to full strength.
Right. I mean, the good news is Landeskog is skating again. He's still being a little ginger mm-hmm. with his knee, with the way that he's planning and skating. But I think he's going to be back. And I think Cale Makar, whether it's tonight or this week, I think Makar will be back. And I'm curious about Darren Helm. I think he was a very underrated piece to the Avs winning the cup last year. And if you can get him back and get that line of him, Andrew Cogliano, and Logan O'Connor back together, that's huge for the playoffs.
They got 20-something games left. So if they play 57, is that 25 games? If I do my math right, plenty of time for this team to get healthy and plenty of time for this team to be the best out West. Okay, last thing for you. Have you seen the news about the pitch clock in baseball? Because this is something that I think baseball is going to have to tweak before it starts. We can't have games ending because of a pitch clock. I love the pitch clock. I think the game needs to go faster. The pace is awesome. I absolutely love the pace of these games now in spring training. I can't have games ending on a pitch clock violation. Where do you stand on that?
I think if you don't want the game to end on a pitch clock violation, get your crap together and figure it out. I mean,
you're going to say that.
I mean, it is what it is. It's spring training. You have basically the rest of them. You have a month to get ready for the regular season. If you can't figure it out in a month, I think that says more about the player and the team than it does the rule. But it makes the game quicker. It needs to speed up. The game is dying. So anything that they can do to make the game better, they need to do. And I'm so glad. I think the biggest rule that I am in favor of that they made is banning the shift. I never understood why teams just didn't bunt if you wanted to end the shift, just bunt. I don't care who, if Aaron Judge had the shift on, bunt. Every single hitter should have bunted when the shift was on. That's what I would have bunted. I mean, the old rules about how you don't do it. Yeah, I would have bunted. Every single time I was on the shift, I would have bunted. So I'm so glad they banned that. It was dumb. I don't think it really did anything. So that's another one that I'm proud that they got rid of. And then the pitch clock, I think, is going to make a huge difference on the game. Now, I don't think people are still going to watch, because I think people have just lost interest in baseball. So we'll see what happens.
I do wonder if they start going to the games, like there's so many casual people that are, hey, let's just go to baseball for a night. And then they see that a game lasts 2.5 hours instead of 3 hours and 15 minutes. If they're like, okay, I'm back in, I can watch the sport, it's a little bit better.
They could around the league.
If they'll get a boost out of this. And maybe not matter. If it's 1 year, maybe 2 years down the line.
It won't matter at Coors Field, because that's just a glorified sports bar.
Yeah.
And that's all people do, is go down to pay overpriced beer to the owner of the Rockies, who doesn't really have expectations anymore. So I don't think it'll impact anything that goes on at Coors Field.
No. Apparently they're trying, but it doesn't really seem like it.
No, they're not. They're not trying. They haven't tried since he took over control of the franchise 25 years ago.
So they got lucky in 07?
Oh, it was total luck.
Total luck. I was here for that. It was kind of cool.
Halloween. It was incredible. It was an incredible run. It was fun.
Yeah. But Halloween for a World Series game, went out, had a good time after that. But yeah, they got swept, and it's been all downhill since. You think they could get lucky one more time, but I just have such a problem with the way this has been constructed. Yeah, they have some prospects, but it just doesn't look like there's any hope anytime soon. Like, you're just going to be bad for a long time, and they're in the wrong division.
Even if they get those, even if the prospects turn out, they'll end up selling them to another team and then actually giving $50 million to the team they just traded the once in a generation prospect for. So, and they did it with Tulo. They did it with DJ LeMahieu. All these guys were prospects that came up through the system, and they didn't keep them. I think that says everything about Dick Montfort and the Rockies.
Yeah. And they got the Dodgers, who are going to be good for years. The Padres just spent $1 billion on three players.
And the Giants will be back. I mean, eventually the Giants, they go through these little runs where they don't do anything, but then they win the World Series.
Yeah. It'll be Arizona and Colorado to fight it out in the bottom. It's depressing. Plug everything you're doing so we can be happy again.
Well, Ed, you can follow playcolorado.com for all the latest with casino news. We had that report about the Monarch Sportsbook doing proxy bets and getting fined $400,000 by the state of Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
So we have all that, the latest, all the casino news, sports betting news. We'll get the numbers here, I'd say, any minute now from the state. And then I also do Mile High Report, where we're going through all the latest free agent targets that the Broncos could potentially look at for free agency here in a couple weeks.
Wonderful. We'll go get a coffee this week. Thank you, Ian St. Clair. Take a minute, follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. And thanks so much to Melissa, Adam, and David behind the scenes. Again, my best bet, same game parlay. We're going to take the Avalanche in tonight's game against the Vegas Golden Knights. We're going to go over 4.5 goals. So we'll get plus money at plus 102 for that one. Take care, and thanks for checking out the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Thanks for listening to the Denver CityCast on the Bet Rivers Network.